All right. Welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. In the show, we talk about what's happening in the markets and how we're trading them. Now, the S&P set to close the week lower for, I think it's the fifth week in a row. We'll take a look at that. The big jobs report is out. Is it bad for the markets? Is the Fed ready to raise rates in November? Tesla slides and cuts prices. What's going on with PXD and ExxonMobil? Plus, what to know about options assignments? We'll take a look at GS and DVN as well as our other positions. As you can see, there's a lot to talk about, so let's go ahead and get started. Now, this is your first time here. My name is Mark Hodge. I'm head coach at Rockwell Trading, and today we'll call the show Coffee with Mark, because I'll be running the show solo, but Mark will be back with me on day. Now, even though of the show by myself, I promise that you're in good hands. You could say that we have a ton of trading experience here at Rockwell Trading. We know our stuff. We're not afraid to tell it like it is. And if you're looking for some honest insights into this crazy world of trading, then you're at the right place. Now, before we dive in and show you our trades and how we're tackling these, let me go ahead and share my screen here. Here we have the S&P 500 up, and look at all of these fancy lines that I drew yesterday. I mentioned that I really could see possible support around 4,200. It looked like we might be approaching this level after this decent retracement here from the highs that we had end of August, pulling back in September, a little bit of a rocky start to October. Looking for this to hold. Retracements in the market are healthy. They happen. And this is a decent one. Don't get me wrong. But I really think that we could hold up right around here. Based on what I see, there's that 200-day moving average. There's round number support. There's a trend line. There's all sorts of reasons for the market to potentially pause here. We'll see if that actually happens. Now, if we go to a weekly chart, though, we see that the last couple of weeks have been rough. The S&P finished lower this week. I'm on a weekly chart. Just wanted to make sure. So one, two, three, four, we're going on 5 weeks lower right now, down 0.8%. If we look at the Dow had a winning week here when the S&P was down. So the Dow is looking at its third consecutive losing week, down 1.3% right now. The NASDAQ, look at this. NASDAQ right now sitting positive for the week. And this would be the second winning week in a row. It doesn't really feel like it for the NASDAQ, but the NASDAQ showing some strength after three consecutive losing weeks, back-to-back wins potentially. NASDAQ hanging in there, positive for the week right now and also positive for the day. So NASDAQ looking pretty strong here compared to the other indices. And we talked about it earlier this week. This week was all about jobs. It was jam-packed with jobs data. We had JOLTS jobs coming in with more jobs available than expected. We have about 1.5 jobs for every individual unemployed in America. And then the ADP jobs report on Wednesday seemed a little bit weak, which is good when we're taking the Fed and inflation into consideration. And then unemployment claims came in a little bit lower than expected, not necessarily a good thing, but kind of in line with expectations. But the real focus, the real biggie was on today's jobs report. And let's go ahead, pull up the economic calendar here. Jobs report came out. And if you are looking for some excitement this morning, you definitely got it. Now, on a positive note, so good news, bad news, good news. Scenario here. Average hourly earnings was better than expected because it was worse than expected. So tick down here from 0.3% expected to 0.2%. So the Fed wants to see average hourly earnings coming down, and that's what happened. Now, the unemployment rate stayed the same. So it was expected. Analysts believe that the unemployment rate would tick down to 3.7% again. And instead, it stayed at 3.8%. So bad news for employment, good news for the Fed. But then crazy number, non-farm employment change, 336 jobs were added. This is just nuts compared to what was expected. 171,000 jobs was the forecast. Last month, 227,000 jobs forecast. So this was significant. This was not expected. And actually, if we go to a five-minute chart, we look at E-mini S&P futures, this shocked the market. So when that jobs data came out, trading just plummeted, or futures just plummeted. Here we could look at this thing. There was actually a pretty nice move going into this session, and then futures instantly dropped 1%. So huge, quick, volatile move lower, and then edged a little bit lower as we approached the U.S. Open, and then actually started to move a little bit higher going into the Open technically, and then pause. So we started the day lower. It looked like it was going to be a rocky day with traders trying to figure out what the heck to do with this jobs information. Now, in the meantime, if we look at the 2-year yield, the 2-year yield spiked on that information. So a huge jump. Yields here, 5-year yield jumped, 10-year yield jumped. So yield spiked, futures dropped, and it looked like it was going to be a pretty nasty day. But look at this. The S&P positive for the day now as I speak. The Dow positive for the day. The NASDAQ positive for the day. What gives? You know, this backwards world of bad news is good news, good news is bad news. And is this really bad news? Well, let's go ahead and take a look at the CME FedWatch tool. Let me refresh this. On that report, on that news, my stakes become a little less certain. So the Fed, right now, Fed funds futures from the CME group points to a probability that the Fed will keep rates the same, 66.1%. So still in favor of rates being the same, but now a quarter point hike at 33.9%. So this is starting to look a little bit better for Marcus. I still have the upper hand, at least based on probabilities. Now, if we move ahead and we look at future probabilities, we still see that the market is expecting a cut in June. So staying the same up until May, although there is a potential hike at the next meeting, there is a potential hike in December, so not a sure thing, a potential hike in January. And this is where strong jobs would make a case for another hike by the Fed. And so I believe that the Fed will not raise in November. But I believe that they're going to still be hawkish. I believe that they're going to continue to say, look, we have a strong jobs market. The economy is actually doing okay in handling these higher interest rates, and we're looking at data. So I don't believe that they're going to raise at the November meeting, but I do believe they're going to keep a quarter point on the table potentially and still reiterate their stance that rates will remain longer higher at the next meeting. Then we'll have to see what happens in November. Now, keep in mind, if we look at the economic calendar and we move ahead to next week, so we do have a bank holiday on Monday. Markets are open, but bond markets are closed, and it's a bank holiday. Now, Monday, a couple of Fed members speaking, low impact reports. Tuesday, a couple of Fed members speaking, low impact reports. And then we have PPI on Wednesday. So next week, this week it was all about jobs. Next week, it's going to be all about inflation because we have PPI data on Wednesday and CPI data on Thursday. So this could potentially shift those probabilities, especially if these numbers come in hotter and higher than expected. And then on Friday, we have consumer sentiment. But what you don't see on the economic calendar is earnings. Let's go ahead and move over to our earnings analysis calendar. And here we see next week, a busy day on Friday the 13th. So United Health, but really it's the big bank kickoff. So JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, PNC. So the banks kicking off earnings season on Friday the 13th. So next week, all about inflation and then earnings season kicking off. So it will be interesting to see the impact and the probabilities potentially shift with next week's inflation data. However, some are now making a case for the Fed not raising because of yields, right? Because we're looking at a 10-year yield. And basically, look at this. Look what yields have done since the Fed last raised rates, right? So yields have been rising. And if you look at yields prior to what we've seen since September, look at where yields stayed. So end of 2022 and going through most of 2023, we kind of traded in this range, but now yields really taking off since September. So you could argue that with this yield increase, that this essentially is having the same impact on the markets as a quarter point hike from the Fed, right? So that's one of the reasons I still think that the Fed will not raise at the next meeting, at least based on the data that we have now. Maybe a crazy CPI number or PPI data. CPI is really the more significant, I believe. But I mean, that could still shake things up a little bit. But this is one of the reasons I think that the Fed will still keep rates the same, not raise, and we'll just have to see. So traders just shaking off this crazy jobs report right now, starting to go higher for the session. And let's take a look at crude oil, because crude oil was in the news recently, and it's been just a crazy week for crude oil. Crude oil falling when it looked like it was up, up, and away for crude. This week, crude oil right now down almost 9%. So sure, energy is going to have an impact on inflation. But with this falling, another reason for the Fed to potentially, you know, CPI data excludes energy and food prices, which tend to be more volatile. But at the same time, we see that, yes, it is volatile and it's coming down after this pretty big increase. So that remains the case. Another reason, in my opinion, for the Fed not to raise rates. So what is going on in the market? Let's look at some market movers here. And I want to bring up Tesla. I mentioned Tesla at the open. And look at this. Is Tesla still negative for the day? Yes, it is. So Tesla down 2%. Now, Tesla dropped after cutting the price of some of its Model 3 and Model Y vehicles. And this comes after third quarter vehicle production and deliveries missed expectations. So Tesla down a little bit. Let's actually go to the heat map here. Look at the S&P 500. And we see here that Tesla's in the red, but Magnificent 7, Apple up a little bit, Microsoft up nicely, Nvidia up a decent amount, Google up nicely, Meta up. And right now the weakness is coming in consumer defensive and energy right now. Well, energy is a little bit mixed, but heat map, a lot of green as we started to turn positive, and it's not just the Magnificent 7. NASDAQ just continues to be strong. Tech remains strong. And there you see Tesla, a couple of red stocks in consumer defensive. We look at the Dow 30, Walmart down, Chevron down, McDonald's down, Verizon down, but still a lot of positive there on the reversal that we've had today. Let's look at Pioneer Natural Resources and also ExxonMobil. What's happening here? So PXD, a big jump today. PXD is up 9.7% after a Wall Street Journal report saying that the driller is close to reaching a deal with ExxonMobil for about $60 billion. So what typically happens when there is a buyout or takeover, the company being bought or taken over rallies, which is what we see with PXD. And in this case, ExxonMobil would be doing the buying. And what usually happens is the company doing the buying drops, right? Longer term, it could be a great move for the buying company, but short term, there's going to be a little impact, whether it's, you know, cash that's being used for the buyout. And here we see that ExxonMobil is down almost 3%. Actually, a pretty decent chart for ExxonMobil. Looking at our wheel scanner here in the analysis, it looks like the 104 strike right now gives you 37% annualized for next Friday. You could get about 86 cents. And it does look like we have some decent support between 100, 104. 104 is a little on the high side. You know, ideally 102 would be what I would be looking for, but kind of a decent play there for ExxonMobil. With that said, let's take a look at some open positions. And Marcus taking DVN this week, so Devon Energy. Marcus, he sold the 45 put, and with this drop in crude oil this week, energy down. And right now, with Devon Energy trading at $43.15, it looks like Marcus's 45 puts are going to be assigned. So I mentioned earlier when we started this video that I would say what to know about options assignments. And when you sell a put, you have an obligation to buy shares at the strike price that you sell. And in this case, the expiration for that put is today. And if the option is in the money, so if the stock is trading below $45 a share, then there will be automatic exercise and assignment. So the option buyer has the right to sell shares at $45. The option seller has an obligation to buy shares at $45. And if we're trading below $45, there's automatic exercise or assignment with an in-the-money option. With that said, there's a little asterisk on this because technically speaking, the option buyer, the seller doesn't have any rights after the market closes, but the option buyer technically has until 90 minutes after the close. And this could vary by broker to broker, but technically speaking, up until 90 minutes after the close to cancel that obligation, right? They have the right to sell shares and they could say, you know what? I'm not interested. Or it could be the opposite and they could say, okay, I want to, right? Because if we close at 45.02 and then after hours, the stock is at 44, the put buyer could say, okay, I want to sell those shares. And if we are trading at 43.20 and then all of a sudden there's this huge jump for some reason and we're trading at 46 after hours, the put buyer could say, okay, I don't want to sell those shares. Right? So a little asterisk there. Some option sellers don't realize that. To be honest, it's a little piece of information that rarely impacts you. So I think that maybe out of the last 200 trades, it was an issue for me once, maybe twice. So doesn't happen too often. Right now, I'm going to say Devon Energy, Marcus is getting assigned. And then Goldman Sachs, another one that I sold this week. Right now, 312.50 put expiring today is what I have sold. And it looks like this one could come down to the wire. Right now, Goldman Sachs is trading at 311.50. So if we closed right now, I would expect that I would be assigned shares at 312.50, looking to sell calls on Monday. I'm really looking for the opportunity to get assigned and potentially sell calls here. But if there's more of a rally today and we get above 312.50, then I won't get assigned and I will have another slot open and looking for new opportunities. Now, just to take a look at other positions that I have open, I do have PNC and Marcus does as well. My break even is 129.35. My cost basis is 136. So this one's not doing too bad. It's just kind of hanging out here though. And I don't have the ability to sell calls where I want to sell calls at this point. So I'm holding and nothing to do. I also have UPS. UPS, similar situation, kind of pulled back here after getting assigned. My cost basis is 165. My break even is 163.07. We're at 153.85 right now. Looking for a bit of a rally here so I could sell calls again. Marcus was assigned at 157.50. So he's in a position to sell calls sooner. But UPS, although we've had a pretty decent slide since July, still like this as a company and looking at support holding and a little bit of a pause here in rally so I could sell calls. Now, the two that have actually been a little bit nasty, and this can happen because we're traders. What do? We trade. We take on risk, right? And in this case, CSIQ just snowballed into a bigger slide than we expected. Right now, if we look at where we're trading, you know, here we have highs in 2019, kind of mid-range here. We've gotten through the lows in 2022, and this is where higher rates longer is not a good thing for solar. If you've been following along, you know that whenever we put a trade on, most of the time it's business as usual, super easy, puts expiring worthless or buying them back maybe 85% of the time out of the, well, let's say 80% of the time, right? And then 20% of the time, let's say we get assigned. Well, out of the 20% of the time we have assignments, maybe let's say 90% of those assignments go as planned. And every now and then you have something like this happen where there is a drop that catches you a little bit off guard. But I'm always willing to manage the trade. When I do my analysis, is a stock I want to own and I'm comfortable owning it at that price based on the information at the time. And in this case, we've fallen a little bit. And what we do is we consider a rescue mission when appropriate. A rescue mission for us would be selling puts again and buying shares at a lower price to bring down our cost basis. Now, right now, since we do not have clear support, I don't want to do a rescue mission. I'm watching. It's as simple as that. And NEE, this one, another one. Nobody saw this coming. Nobody saw this coming. I'm sorry, but the reason why I know no one saw this coming is when we were in this one, I was ready to let it go. I sold the 69.50 calls. And on this Friday, the 15th, it looked like we were going to get called away. We traded almost as high as 67 and then pulled back. But there was no premium in these options. What happens when traders are anticipating a bigger move? Premium spikes. There was just such little premium in options here. That was why I wanted to let it go. This caught investors, funds, everybody off guard. And now I'm in the trade. I'm willing to manage it. I'm willing to buy more shares, lower my cost basis so I could sell calls at a lower price rather than my 69.50 assignment. But I want to time this right. I don't want to buy more shares or sell puts just because it's down. That to me is ridiculous, but I could do it strategically. Right now, I'm waiting to see what happens with this one, where we find a bottom, where this one ends up. Right now, you see we're trading near pandemic lows. It could be that we hold up right around these levels. This would be some lows after a rally in 2019. And just need to wait and see. So these are the open positions that I have. And yeah, to be honest, looks like Goldman Sachs going to be perfect, exactly what I expect. PNC, UPS, I'm not worried about. CSIQ and NEE. Sure, these are trades that are a little more challenging, and I might be in them for 2 months or 12. I don't know at this point, but that's okay. I'm willing to take on risk. I'm willing to manage these and rescue these. And when I rescue them, it puts me in a much better situation to be selling calls and to move on from the trade. So if you like this video, you like the transparency, you like trading just as much as we do, please give the video a like. And if you're new to the channel, please subscribe. We'll be back here on Monday and I'll be here with Marcus. Until then, have a wonderful weekend, a great Friday, and happy trading, everybody.